Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bechoros daf Zion. We left off daf Vav Amabei is probably about two-thirds of the way down on the page. Today we are going to cover a number of topics. First, we're going to continue with the discussion that we began yesterday. Yesterday we were seeing a discussion about the chalev, or the chalev rather, of a behema temeya, and whether the chalav of a gamal in particular was asur ba'achila or mutter ba'achila. Today we're going to talk about the very basic proposition, how do we know that the milk of a kosher animal is mutter for consumption? We have been speaking yesterday about a behema tmeya. How do we know that the milk even of a behema tahora is kosher for consumption? We're then going to talk again about the concept of a mutant animal, of an animal that's born from a mother, but the baby animal doesn't look like the mother animal, whether that animal is kosher or not. We're going to talk about the halachic status of other things that are emitted from an animal. So, for example, meraglayim, as disgusting as that is to conceive of, drinking meraglayim, whether one would be allowed to drink meraglayim from a tame animal. Does it have the status of something that comes from an animal, or is it considered to be water that simply passes through the animal? That's going to lead to a discussion of eating honey that comes from bees. Because if we talk about the concept of drinking something that passes through a non-kosher animal, a bee is obviously a non-kosher animal. You're not allowed to eat a bee, but we all eat honey. And the question is, why are we allowed to eat honey that comes from a bee? We're going to talk about bee honey, whether it has the status of a meichel, legabe, the halachic status of accepting of receiving tumah, versus honey that comes from other animals, and whether that honey has the ability to receive tumah from a halachic perspective. So again, we left off Vav Amud Beis. It's about two-thirds of the way down. Let's call it four lines up from where the lines get wide. In the middle of the line, the first word on the line is lishtri. The third word on the line is v'chalav. So says the Gemara, v'chalav d'beima Torah minola d'shari. How do we know that the milk of a kosher animal is fit to be eaten? We had been speaking yesterday again about the milk of a non-kosher animal, whether you're allowed to drink the milk or not. And it turns out we learned from a pasuk that you're not allowed to drink the milk of a gummel, either because it says gummel, gummel, or from another riboy, it says davar abba mina gummel. So the question is, how do we know that milk of a kosher animal is fit to be, is fit for drinking, is fit for consumption? Shita Mekubetzis is bothered. Why don't we bring a raya from the fact that Avram Avinu, so it's like the very first of the Avos in the Torah, we see a recounting of where Avram Avinu served chalav to the Malachim. So why don't we see that that it's mutter to drink milk? Avram Avinu also thought the Malachim were Arabs, so he didn't necessarily think they were Jews, but Lechor Avram Avinu wouldn't have served something that was not fit to be eaten. Okay, whatever. So the Shita Mekubetzis works on that. But the Gemara says, how do we know that milk of a kosher animal is fit to be is fit for consumption? If you want to say the raya is the fact that the Torah asers basar b'chalav, halachu de shari. So it's mashma that if the Torah had to come and asr basar b'chalav, it's mashma that it's mutter to eat basar alone. It's mutter to drink chalav alone. The chiddush of the Torah is that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav together. So says the Gemara, v'eim chalav luchude asr ba'achila mutter ba'ana. There's no raya from there. Maybe chalav alone is asr ba'achila, but it's mutter ba'ana. Basar b'chalav ba'ana nami asr. But basar b'chalav, the chiddush of basar b'chalav, even though, yes, usually you are not allowed to eat chalav, but the chiddush of basar b'chalav is that it's even asar b'hana. Says the Gemara, that doesn't work according to Rav Shimon, though. Although Rav Shimon, the shari b'hana, but Rav Shimon says that basar b'chalav is mutar b'hana. So if you want to tell me that it's always asar to drink chalav, then what's the chiddush of basar b'chalav? You can't tell me that basar b'chalav is asar b'ana, because Rav Shimon says it's mutar b'ana. Says the Gemara, mishkachas lo milki al bishula. No, there still could be a chiddush of basar b'chalav, because usually chalav is asar b'achila but mutar b'ana. By basar b'chalav, it's also asar b'achila and mutar b'ana. What's the distinction then between basar b'chalav and stam chalav? That by basar b'chalav, you get malkus for cooking them together. So how do I know, again, we're working on how do I know that milk is generally mutter? Ela midgali rachmana de b'sulei maktoshim. from the fact that the Torah says by psulei hamukdashim that by animals that were consecrated and then become pusul for being used as a for use as a karban, tizbach velo giza. It says tizbach they should be shechted but not shorn, basar velo chalav, and their meat is fit for consumption but not their milk, hadachul and shari. So the mashmos says, yeah, it's only by psulei hamukdashim that you're not allowed to drink the milk, but by an animal of chulin it would be mutter to drink the milk. Says the Gemara, how do I know? Veima de chulin aser by chilav ashari bana. Same line of questioning. Maybe by chulin it's aser to eat the milk, but it's mutter bana. To kachim bana nami aser. However, by kachim it's also aser even bana. But we have no raya from here that it's actually ever mutter to drink the milk of a chulin animal. Ela midichsiv videi chalav izim lalachmecha, that the chalav izim is sufficient for your food, lalecha besecha v'chayim l'nurecha. So we see that there's a comment here in the pasuk about lechem and chalav being sufficient to sustain you. So if lechem and chalav is sufficient to sustain you, obviously it's mutter to drink the milk. Says the Gemara, but how do I know? V'dulma l'schora. Maybe that doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat the milk. That means that you're allowed to take the milk, you're allowed to sell it to a guy who's allowed to eat the milk, and then you're allowed to buy provisions with the money that you make from selling the milk. So says the Gemara, we have another pasuk. It talks about the 10 cheeses that Yishai gave to David. Now, if Yishai gave cheese to David, cheese is made out of milk. If he gave it to David, obviously it was mutter le'achila. Says the Gemara again, v'dilma l'schora. Maybe David sold the cheese to a guy, and maybe he was making business with the cheese. He was trying to make a profit, but it's not that it was mutter for consumption for him. Says the Gemara, atu darkar shal mechama l'schora. You have to look at the context of what that's talking about. Yishai gave the cheese to David. David was in the middle of a battle with the Philistines, with the Plishtim. The only goyim around David were the people he was waging war with. So what are you going to say? That Yishai gave the cheese to David, and David called a timeout in the middle of the battle and sold the cheese to his adversaries? That clearly is not what was happening. So it's obvious that he was able to eat it. Others say no. The raya is from the following: Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. What do we say about Eretz Yisrael? It's Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. V'lo d'shari mishabeach lan krab imidi d'lochazi. And just like instinctively, intuitively, we know logically that if it were usher to drink chalav, there's no way the pasuk would praise Eretz Yisrael with something that is usher ba'achila. Says the Gemara, v'ibasa me'mehacha, or we see from the following pasuk, l'chu shivru v'achlu, go buy and eat, u'l'chu shivru b'lo kesef u'v'lo mechir, and you'll buy without having to pay for it, yayin v'chalav. And over here we're talking about affirmatively buying yayin and chalav for consumption. So that's how we know that milk of a kosher animal is mutter ba'achila, is mutter la'achila. Okay, so we'll have to remember, for the purposes of the next part of the Gemara, that what we started to darshan was that there were two references, there were two times in the Torah where we are told which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher for eating. One time in Vayikra, one time in Devarim. Now, what we had been darshaning earlier in the beginning of Amud Beis yesterday was the fact that it said gummel gummel. So, and we said, what did we learn from the double lashon of gummel? Oh, one came to aser the gummel, the other came to aser the milk of the gummel. Says the Gemara, there are a whole bunch of other animals also that are mentioned twice, once in Vayikra, once in Devarim. And what's the purpose of mentioning all those animals twice? Says the Gemara, Ela Meyata, if you're going to darshan gummel gummel to teach me that the milk of a non-kosher animal is also not fit for consumption, shafan shafan, arneves arneves, chazir chazir, lahani udeasu. So all of these other animals which are mentioned twice in the pasuk, why do we need all those animals to be mentioned? I thought you told me that from the double lashon gummel gummel I know that non-kosher animals are not kosher, and that which comes from non-kosher animals are also not kosher. So why are the other non-kosher animals mentioned twice in the Torah? Ela l'chidatanya, it's for the following reason. Lama nishnu bibeima Bebehema bebnei ha-shesua. Why are they repeated? For the behema, because of the shesua. The shesua is written only in, the shesua is only written in Devarim, but is not written in Vayikra. What is the shesua? Rashi explains a very, very, interesting and strange type of animal. It's bria sheishla shnei gavim v'sheish edros. It has two backs and two spines. Whatever type of animal this is, but it's one of the non-kosher, animals, and because of that, we list all of the non-kosher animals again, and ba'opos v'mnei ha-ra'ah, and we list all the non-kosher birds again because of the ra'ah, which is mentioned again in Dvarim, but not in Vayikra. So says in the Gemara, gamal gamal nami la'achi hu da'asa. So says the Gemara, wait, time out. If the reason that we mention all of these animals again is because there are some animals that only make it to one of the lists, and therefore, once we have some of the animals in Sefer Vayikra, and then other animals in Devarim, we're just going to list in Devarim all the animals that were already listed in Vayikra. Says the Gemara, if so, how do we darshan anything from Gamal Gamal? Maybe simply we need Gamal Gamal twice, because again, some of the animals are left off of the initial list. Says the Gemara, oh, of course. However, kol echad ikal midrash darshinan. But if it is possible to learn a drasha from the repetition of Gamal Gamal, then we'll do so. And since it's possible to learn the drasha that the Gamal is Usr and the Yosem in a Gamal, and even the Chalav of the Gamal is Usr, therefore we're going to make that drasha. Says the Gemara, five lines up from the bottom. Tana Rabbana, Rachel, Sheyoldam, and Aes, a sheep, min eiz, a sheep which gives birth to an animal that looks like a goat, veisha yoldam in rachel, a goat that gives birth to an animal that looks like a sheep, p'tura min ha-bechora, it's p'tur from bechora, vim yeshba mixa simanim, and if it has certain of the simanim, if it's alike, if it's similar enough in character to the mother, then chayeves, then it's going to be chayeves in bechora. Reb Shimon omer, achi rosha veruba doma le'imo. Reb Shimon says that it's not enough that it be similar to the mother, it has to be similar to the mother in rosha veruba, in other words, in its facial characteristics and most of its body have to be doma to the mother. Ibailu, so says the Gemara, Lachila Miboy Reb Shimon Rosha Baruba Olo. Does Reb Shimon need the animal to look like its mother in Rosha Baruba for the purpose of being Mutter Lachila, Mutter Ba'achila, or not? So says the Gemara, says Rashi explaining this question. So Miboy Reb Shimon, Tlo Mishri Ba'achila B'mixa Simon Imachi Rosha Baruba Doma Limo Olo. In other words, if a kosher animal gives birth, let's say, to an animal that looks like a non-kosher animal, according to the Mandi, there are some Mandi Amrim we saw in our Mishnah who say that it's always kosher. Whatever comes from a kosher animal is kosher. There are other Mandi Amrim who say no. The non-kosher or the animal that looks like a non-kosher animal, the kid, is only mutter if it looks a little bit like its mother. So what does it mean that it looks a little bit like its mother? Does Rav Shimon say, just like by Bechora, when we say it looks a little bit, it means Rosha Verubo, so too by Achila, it also means Rosha Verubo, or not? So says the Gemara, Linin Bechora Ksiv, Ach Bechor Shar, Achihu Shar, Ubechora Shar. Maybe it's only by Bechora, because it says Ach Bechor Shar, that it has to be a Shar, and its Bechora has to be a Shar. Aval Achila Gamalu Diyam Arachmana Diyasir. However, by Achila, it's only a non-kosher animal, it's only a gamal that the pasuk said is usr lachila. Flipping finally to Zion and Aleph, ishtani me gamal shaper dummy. However, if it is like its mother, even b'miksa simanim, even if it's not barosha verubo, then it's going to be mutar lachila. O dilma loshna, or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Just like by bechora, the halacha is that it's only chayev in bechora if the kid looks like the mother in rosha verubo. So too, it's only mutar lachila if the offspring looks like the mother in rosha verubo. Says the Gemara, let's bring a raya. Tashma behema tora sheyolda min behema tameya behema tora that gives birth to an animal that looks like a behema tameya aser ba'achila. It's aser ba'achila. This is against our Mishnah. Vimdoma rosha veruba li'imo chayeves bebechora. But if it's rosha veruba like its mother, then it's chayev in bechora. So the Bryce had a sleight of hand. First, it talks about aser ba'achila. Then it says chayeves bebechora. Shmamino la'achila nami boy Reb Shimon rosha veruba. Says the Gemara, so we see obviously that even for permissibility for eating, Rabbi Shimon requires Rosha Verubo. Says the Gemara, no, not so fast. He didn't trick me. The Bechora Dafka. No, maybe it's only by Bechora Dafka that Rabbi Shimon requires Rosha Verubo. And Dekanami, Dekashavka La'achila, Vekamle Abachar. Because the first part of the Braisa talks about the permissibility of eating a non-kosher animal that comes from a kosher animal. And then the part of the Braisa in which Rav Shimon introduces a shita that you require Rosha Verubah of similarity, then we're talking about the issue of Bechor. So maybe it's only by Bechor where he requires Rosha Verubo. Shema mino la Bechoru devoy Reb Shimon Rosha Verubo. Ava la Achila lo. So we see that it's only by Bechor that he requires Rosha Verubo of similarity, but by Achila does not require Rosha Verubo of similarity. Even if they are similar in Miksa Simonim, the kid is going to be Mutter la Achila. Says the Gemara, no, liola meim lecha la Achila nami boy. Maybe by Achila you also need Rosha Verubo. Bechor it's the And the chiddush is that by Bechor, even Rosh HaVerubo is enough. Salka that the Chamina Hall v'chsev Ach Bechor Shor, Achiyu Shor Bechor Roshar. I might think because it says Ach Bechor Shor, it is not Chayiv and Bechora until it is exactly like its mother, Velotiskule, Berosh HaVeruba Adika Kule, Kamash Malon. The chiddush is that even by Bechor, Rosh HaVerubo is enough of a similarity. But Taka, indeed, also by Achila, Reb Shimon will require a Rosh HaVeruba of similarity in order to eat the non-kosher offspring, the Beima Tameya, that comes from a Beima Torah. Tashma, the Gemara tries again. You're not allowed to eat the following animals from those that chew its cud and that have split hooves. So you're not allowed to eat those because some animals are non-kosher animals that have only one of the characteristics of a kosher animal. However, if you have the offspring of a kosher animal, you're allowed to eat that animal even if it's only babasim enechad. In other words, even if it's only very inconsequentially similar to the mother, and you don't require Rosh HaVerubo. Says that, says the Gemara, Vezez Ababas Minachad, Zetame Anole Minatar, Vubro Minatar. So this is a Tame animal that comes from a tar animal, and that tar animal is impregnated by a tar animal. In other words, the Gemara now is introducing a criteria that we had not focused on in the Mishnah. That which we say that the tame animal that comes from the tar animal is going to be mutar la'achila, that's only when the tame animal comes from a union of a tar animal and a tar animal. So a tar animal and a tar animal, they have relations, and then the offspring of that, it might look like a non-kosher animal, but it's going to be mutar b'achila as long as it's baba siman echad, as long as it's similar in a certain way to the mother animal. Says the Gemara, Yachal afilu b'ro min atame. I might think that you're allowed to eat the offspring even if the offspring is the result of the union of a kosher mother and a non-kosher father. Tamalomar sekvasim v'se'izim. No, it says sekvasim v'se'izim achi aviv kesev v'ima kivsa. Until the father is a keves and the mother is a kivsa. Meaning it has to be a kosher animal on both sides, both the mother and the father. Divri Rabbi Shua. That's Rabbi Shua. Shita Rabbi Lezer Omer. No, lobo akosav la'atir esamutar. It's obvious that if the animal comes from a union of a kosher animal and a kosher animal, the offspring is going to be a kosher animal. The chiddush is to expand on what is kosher. What is it? What does it mean that it's to be mosif on the mutter? Ze tame anolad minatar. Vubaro minatame. No, that comes to teach me that even a non-kosher animal that comes from a kosher mother, it's kosher as long as it's like the mother b'simen echad, even if the father that impregnated the mother is a non-kosher animal. Oena elibura minatar. Or I might think maybe it's only permitted for achila if the father animal is kosher. Tamalomar shar sekzavim v'se'izim mikol makom. So it turns out, the limud is that it says sex avim v'seizim mikol makom. It's going to be mutter mikol makom, even if only the mother is kosher, and even if the father is a not kosher animal. So kari le tame kareb shimon. It calls a tame animal like Reb Shimon, right? V'ka'amar, however, it says, avalata ochel abba b'siman echad. But it says yet that you're allowed to eat the baby animal if it is like the mother animal in any inconsequential respect. We had a question whether Reb Shimon requires Rosh HaVeruba of similarity. Over here we have a brisa that says that if you have a non-kosher animal that comes from a kosher animal, then we saw machlokas whether the father has to be kosher. Good. Whatever it is. But we said that you're allowed to eat that non-kosher offspring as long as it's bab simen echad. So isn't it a raya that Rav Shimon doesn't require rosh over rubo? That by Rav Shimon, it's enough that the animal be even a little bit similar to the mother. So says the Gemara, Haytana sofer lekabase bechada polagale bechada. No, maybe not. Maybe it's no. Maybe it's no raya. Maybe this tana is modeh that a tamei that comes from a tar animal is not kosher la'achila until it looks like its mother. Now, what does it mean looks like its mother? Because also Rav Shimon says that there has to be some similarity. So, again, just to refresh, we saw in the Mishnah a shita that said that a tamei animal that comes from a tar animal is going to be mutar la'achila regardless of whether it looks like the mother or not. In the Braisa, we were introduced to the criteria that the tamei animal has to look like its mother. So this Braisa holds like Rav Shimon that yes, a tamei animal has to look like its mother in order to be mutar ba'achila, but whereas Rav Shimon says, what do I mean when I say it looks like its mother? I mean, says Rav Shimon, rosha verubo. But maybe the Tana of this Braisa, he agrees in concept there's got to be a similarity, but he disagrees with the extent to which the similarity has to be prevalent. Rav Shimon says it's got to be rosha verubo. Our Tana says, no, it's only b'simen echad. V'ika demakshi yemosiv. And others ask a question, and they answer in the following way. Iburo menatame. So one of the options that we were talking about is, about this non-kosher animal that comes from a kosher animal is, we know the mother's a kosher animal. What about the father? Is the father a kosher animal or not? Says the Gemara, Mima Abra, can a kosher animal become impregnated by a non-kosher animal? Biologically, does it even work? Vimra Rabbi Shua ben Levi, don't we have a mimer from Rabbi Shua ben Levi, le'olam ein misaberes lo tamea min atar, a tamea animal cannot be misaber, cannot be impregnated by a tar animal. Velo tora min a tamea, an atar animal cannot be impregnated by a tamea animal. Velo gasa min adaka, nor can a bema gasa be impregnated by a bema daka, velo daka min agasa, and not a daka from a gasa, not a small animal from a large animal, velo bema min a chaya, nor a bema from a chaya, velo chaya min behema, nor can a chaya become impregnated by a behema, chutz mir Rabbi Lezer machlakuso. This is aside from Rabbi Lezer and the people who argue with him, shiu omrim chaya misaberes mi behema, who say that a chaya can be misaber from a behema, and you'll recall from the last mesechta meseches chulin, actually ironically, one of the times when the rabbi was away, so we learned this daf together, we were talking about a koi. And koi is a safek chaya, safek behema. We don't know what it is, but there is a shita in the Gemara that it's tiyash minatzvia, that it's haba minatiyash minatzvia, that it's an animal that comes from a union of a chaya and a behema. So if you hold that a koi, which is a safek, is an animal that comes from a union of a chaya and a behema, obviously you have to say that a chaya and behema can impregnate each other. But those who argue, no, a koi is a bria b'fnei atzma, that it's its own min, and we simply don't know what it is, you can hold from this idea that a chay and a behema do not impregnate each other. Says the Gemara, regardless of what we hold by a chay and a behema, we see very clearly in the Braisa that a tamei animal cannot become impregnated from a tar animal, and a tar animal cannot be impregnated from a tamei animal. So when we were talking about a tar animal that has an offspring which looks like a tamei animal, how could it be that we were considering that the father was a tamei animal, was a tamei animal, i.e. it's biologically impossible to impregnate the tar animal? Says the Gemara of Emor of Yirmiya, the other mikolot ben para. That what we're talking about is that the tar animal became pregnant. It wasn't from a tamei animal. It was an animal with unsplit hooves that itself was the offspring of a kosher animal. So in other words, it was impregnated by a mutant from a kosher animal. So valiba the Reb Shimon kamar, and it's like Reb Shimon that this animal has the status of tamei unless it looks like its mother. V'kamar avalata ochel ababa simen echad. Aye, but in the Braisa we say that if the tamei animal comes from a tar animal, it's mutter ba'achila as long as it's similar in a certain respect to the mother animal. Says the Gemara, haitana sabar lekavase bechado palagale bechado. Again, that this Braisa, this Tana rather, holds like Rav Shimon that in order for the kid to be mutter ba'achila, it has to be like the mother. But whereas Rav Shimon says, when I say like the mother, I mean Rosh HaVeruba, the Tana of the Braisa says, no, it's even enough, Habab Shimon Echad, it's even enough to be vaguely similar to the mother. Says the Gemara, the member of the Rebbe Lezer Savar Zev is a gore mutter. Does this mean to tell me that Zev Zegorem is mutter? Because we see that Rebbe Lezer Shita is that if you have a mother who's kosher, that's impregnated by a non-kosher animal, the animal that looks like a Beima Tveya that comes from that union is going to be Mutter Bachila. So does he hold that if Zev Zebegorem, if two things cause each other, the product of that mating is going to be mutter. V'Rav Yeshua Sefer Zev Zegorem Aser. Rav Yeshua is the one who says that no, if the father animal is Tomei, then it's going to be Aser because Zev Zegorem is Aser. V'Yivchav Shamin Allah. But we learned exactly the opposite. Vlad Treifa, if you have the Vlad of a Treifa, Rebbe Lezer Omer Lo Yikro V'Gavim Mizbeach. Rebbe Lezer says that you're not allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. Why? Because Zev Zegorem, because part of the koach of the baby animal comes from the mother that's a treifa. You're not allowed to bring a treifa on the Mizbeach. Therefore, you're also not allowed to bring the child animal on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yikra Lagabi Mizbeach. And Rabbi Yeshua says that you are allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach. So, and because obviously he says Zev is a Gorem is Mutter. So the Shitas are flipped. Says the Gemara, no, first a medium-sized line. Bialma Sofer Rabbi Lezer Zev is a Gorem Aser. Usually, Rabbi Lezer says, Zev Zegorem is going to be Yasser. I over here, how come the animal is Mutter La'achila, even if the father animal is of Eimetmeya? Isn't that Zev Zegorem? Vishani Yacha, Dimke Nichtav Kra, Sek Savim V'izim. Sev Zelamali, Shmami Nasemi Kalmakom. Because over here, I have a ribuy in a pasuk that teaches me that the baby animal is Mutter La'achila, even if only the mother is kosher, but we don't also require that the father be a kosher animal. Rabbi Shua Amar Lachan, Rabbi Shua will tell you, Bialma Zev Zegorem Mutter. Generally speaking, Zev Zegorem is Mutter. V'yacha, however, over here, Imkein Lichtov Krosh Shar Kesev Ve'ez, Ksavim V'izim Lamali, why does it say Ksavim V'izim? Shmamina Achi Aviv Keves V'imo Kisva. Because what this teaches me is that over here again, we have a special ribuy in the pasuk that tells me, even though ordinarily I say Zev Zegorem is mutter, over here I need the animal to come from a kosher product on either side, because it says in Lashon Rabin, Kvasim, Izim, so it's got to be a pure bread, basically, kosher on both sides. Says the Gemara Navaiter, Toshma, Reb Shimon Omer, Gamal, Shtei Pamim, Echad Gamal Anolam in a Gamal, both a Gamal which is born from a Gamal, Vechad Gamal Anolam in a Para, or a Gamal which is born from a Para, Vim, they are going to be Aser Ba'achila, Vim Rosho, Verubo, Dome, Le'imo. Here's the clincher, and if Rosho Verubo is like its mother, Mutter Ba'achila, then it's going to be Mutter Ba'achila. Shmamina, La'achila Nami, Boy Rav Shimon, Rosho Verubo, Shmamina. Over here we have an explicit brisa that says the kosher animal that gives birth to a non-kosher animal Aser Ba'achila, unless it looks like its mother. What do I mean when I say it looks like its mother? It's got to be Rosh HaVeruba, like its mother. So Rav Shimon, who had that shita by Bechora, that has got to be alike by Rosh HaVeruba, holds the same shita also, Legabe Achila. Okay, now says the Gemara, Ptudas, Shayotzim in a Tamei, Tamei, that which comes from a Tamei animal is Tamei, that which comes from a Tar animal is Tar. Says the Gemara, Boi Minam Rav Sheshes. So they asked the Kashuk from Rav Sheshes, Me Raglayim Shel Chamor Mahu. What about the urine of a... What about the urine of a donkey? So the implication is that it's obvious that meraglayim, urine of a tar animal, urine of a kosher animal, is certainly going to be mutter. Again, we don't like to think about this, but the question was, what about urine of a donkey? A donkey is obviously a non-kosher animal. Is the urine going to be mutter or asur ba'achila? Says the Gemara, v'tiboy desusim v'gmalim. So why are you picking on a donkey? Let's ask about horses and camels also. The meraglayim of any of these animals, is it mutter or asur? Says the Gemara, desusim I don't have a kasha. Why? Dlo achiri, because the urine is not murky, and it's not therefore like chalav, because maya ol, maya nafik, because the urine of the horse and the camel is very clear, it's obvious that it's mutter, because it's not considered to be a product of the non-kosher animal. Simply, water was imbibed by the animal, and water is excreted by the animal. But Ki kami bailu the chamor da achiri v'dama l'chalav. The kasha that I have is by the milk of a chamor, which is murky, and therefore it maybe has the status of milk. So my migufe kamimtzi v'asiri, does it emit? Is it a bodily excretion, and therefore it's going to be usur because it comes from a treif animal? Odilma mayo mayanufik, or maybe no, it is just water in, water out. V'ayda achiri havla debisru, and the reason that it's a little murky is because it comes from the heat of the basar, but it doesn't have the halachic status of something that comes from a non-kosher animal. Samar lu Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes, Tanitua, we already have a brisa about this, Shayotzim en atame tame, Vayotzim en atar tar, because that which comes from a tame animal is tame, that which comes from a tar animal is tar, mit tame lo kamar, it doesn't say mitame, which is mashma that just something that comes, that which is mashma that just something that comes from a behema tameya is going to be tame, ela min tame, minatame. But it says minatame, and the Gemara's assumption, flipping over to Zion of Abayz, the Gemara's assumption is that minatame is a more expansive language than mitame. Mitame is mashma dafka, that which comes from the guf itself. Mintame is a little bit broader. It means anything that derives from a treif animal. Vani nami minitamehu, and this is also a min of a tame. And what Rashi says, but why is it a mintame? Because it was housed inside a tame animal. So even though physically it's not considered to be part of the animal, it might not necessarily be like chalav, it might not be like that, but since it was housed in a non-kosher animal, it's going to be aser ba'achila. Says the Gemara, Vika Damri, others say, Desusa Megmalim lo kami ba'ilu. The reason that we don't ask about Susa Megmalim and we ask only about Chamorim has nothing to do with the characteristic of the urine of these animals. It's just very simply, Delo Shasu Inshi, because nobody in their right mind drinks the urine of horses and camels. Ah, ki kame boilu de chamar de shaso inshi. Again, different times that the Gemara is talking about, but we're asking only about the meraglaim of a chamar because that's what people have a proclivity to eat, to drink. Umalu liyarkona. Why do they drink it? Says the Gemara, not because it tastes good, but because it's beneficial for jaundice. It's a heal. It's a refuah for jaundice. Samai. So what's the halacha? Are you allowed to drink the meraglaim of a donkey or not? So Amar Lu Rav Sheshes, Tanitua, we already learned this. Hayotza min atame tame, vayotza min ator tamer, v'ani nami min mitame ka'asi, and therefore this also comes from a tame animal, and therefore it is going to be usur, it is going to be usur be'achila. The Chazon Ish says that what we learn from this Gemara is that it's not considered to be maya all maya nafik, that water in, water out. Really, it's considered to be part of the animal, and therefore it's going to be yasser. Says the Gemara, Meisve, Mibnei ma omru dvash devorim mutter. Okay, so we have been talking about urine that comes from a donkey, all very disgusting stuff, but there's a practical application to secretions of a non-kosher animal and whether that is asr b'achila or mutter b'achila, and that has to do with honey. So why do we say that honey that comes from bees is mutter, b'bnei shemachnisos also legufan, because the bee takes the honey in, v'ein mematzos also megufan, and it doesn't excrete it from the body. So in other words, says the Gemara, you're right, if the bee took in the honey and excreted it, then it would be an excretion of a non-kosher animal, and itself it would be non-kosher. But the production of the honey is a little bit different, says the Gemara. So who damar Rav Yaakov? And this shita is like Rav Yaakov. The Amar duvsha rachmana sharia. That how do we know that honey is kosher? Because the Torah tells me it's kosher. The Tanya Rav Yaakov Omar ach es ze tochelu mikol sheretz ha'of. That you're allowed to eat this from all sheretz ha'of. Says ze ata ochel viata ochel sheretz of tame. That you're allowed to eat this, but you're not allowed to eat a sheretz of tame. Sheretz of tame v'edyaksev. What does it mean? I need a ribuy in a pasuk that tells me I'm not allowed to eat a sheretz of tame. I have a pasuk that tells me explicitly I'm not allowed to eat a sheretz of tame. Ela sheretz of tame yata ochel. Now the limit is like this: that you're not allowed to eat a sheretz of tame. And again, a sheretz of is an insect. You're not allowed to eat an insect. Avalata omer masha of tame mashritz. but you're allowed to eat that which of tame, that which an insect, that which an insect produces. And what is this product of an of tame that is mutter ba'achila, even though an of tame itself is aser ba'achila? Dvash dvorim, that's bee honey. So we see that you're allowed to eat it. From a ribuy and a pasuk, that's how I know that you're allowed to eat the honey. Yachol av dvash hagazin vatsariyin. I might think that you're also allowed to eat locust honey and wasp honey. Amrit lo, umar ra'is l'rabbas dvorim alotzi agizim vatsirim. Why are you picking on the wasps and the locusts? Why is it mutter to eat bee honey, but it's not mutter to eat locust honey and wasp honey? So marbani dvash dvorim, I'm going to include bee honey in the mut in the heter la'achila shein lo shem levai, because it doesn't have like another name. It's simply called honey. When I say honey, I know I'm referring to bee honey. Omotze ani dvash agizim vatsirim vatsirin sheyesh lo shem levai. But I come to exclude locust honey and bee honey because that's not called stam honey. That's called wasp honey. Locust honey, it has an accompanying name, therefore it's not going to be mutter. Come on, Azla Hadatanya. So what does the following go like? Dvash hagizin vatsirin, if you have locust honey or bee honey, tar, it's tar because it's not considered to be a maichel, umutter ba'achila, and it's mutter ba'achila, and it's, I'm sorry, tar, it's not makabel tuma, and it's mutter ba'achila, it's a lo k'Rav Yaakov. So it's obviously not like Rav Yaakov, because Rav Yaakov said that only the bee honey is mutter, but the locust honey and the wasp honey is going to be aser ba'achila. Says the Gemara, tar, why is it tar? Why is it not makabel tuma? Alma boy machshava, because it requires a special machshava in order for it to be eaten. Masha ain kein, bee honey doesn't require a special machshava person because bee honey is food. Locust honey and wasp honey is not really considered food unless you have an affirmative machshava that you're going to use it as food. Tani namiyachi, we have a similar in a braisa. Dvash bekavaroso mitame tomas ochlin. If you have honey in the hive, it's going to be tamei mishum tamas ochlin shelo b'machshava, even without b'machshava. Why? Because it's only the wasp honey and the locust honey that requires machshava. The bee honey is considered food regardless. Says the Gemara, choli de yachmurta, the clumps that are discharged from a female yachmar. Sover Rabbanan lemeimar beininu. The Rabbanan thought that they were the testicles of the male yachmar that somehow got stuck in the cervix of the female yachmar vasirin, and therefore they would be usher when they were expelled from the female because it's Avram menachai. But Amar Rav Safra zara de elahu. No, it's the seed of the heart of the ayil, the ozil basar ailasa, that it was looking for a female ayeles to mate with. The avide de rachma tsar, but because its womb is narrow, lo mizdakika, it didn't want to engage in copulation with the male ayla. The ozil basar yachmarta, so what did the male ayla do? He went to the female yachmar vinatri, and he released his seed in the female yachmar, and then the female yachmar expelled his seed. So that which comes from this female yachmar, it's not also mishum evram and achai because it's not really part of a body. It is simply the seed of the ayil. Some ravuna or haba keneged panav shel chamor. The membrane that comes out with a baby donkey, mutter, it's mutter. My time up. Birsha biyamu. Why? Because it's simply extraneous. It's not considered to be part of the donkey itself. Amar lei Rav Chista Tani de Maseyelecha. We have a brisa that supports you. Or Rabbah Keneged Panav Shel Adam. If you have the membrane that we're not talking about the placenta. The placenta is considered to be part of the mother. We're talking about the little membrane that covers that comes out with the baby. Bain mace, bain chai, bain mace tar. That little membrane, whether the thing is alive or dead, we'll see what we're talking about in a minute. Tar is tar. So my love, bain hu chai v'imo chaya, bain hu mace v'imo mesa. Doesn't it mean that it's tar whether the baby's alive and the mother's alive, or whether the baby's alive and the mother's dead? Meaning that this thing is tar even if the mother's dead. Now, if the mother's dead and it came from a dead person, it should be tame. So obviously, it's an extraneous matter. Says the Gemara, lo. Beinu chai vimu, says the Gemara, lo. And we have a different girsa here, which you have to look in Rashi for. Beinu chai v'imo chaya, beinu meis v'imo chaya. No, what the Brisa means to say is whether the baby's alive and the mother's alive, or whether the baby's dead and the mother is alive. So we have no raya that it's extraneous. It could come from the mother. The reason that it's tar is because the mother's not dead. and because the mother's not there, that's why it's tar. Says the Gemara, "Vatanya beinu chaya v'ima chaya beinu meis v'imo meisa." No, but it says that this thing is not makabel tuma. This thing is not tame. Rather, whether the baby and the mother are alive or whether the baby and the mother are dead. So obviously, we see that the reason that it's tar is not because it comes from the mother and the mother's alive. The reason that it's tar is because this is considered to be an extraneous matter altogether. It doesn't come from the mother. Itanya, Tanya. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, if you learned this brisa, then you learned this brisa. It's not considered to be a chelak of the mother. Therefore, it's tar, even if the mother is dead. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick up from the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow.